fact, it's too bad that the member isn't down here. The other thing that this committee will consider will be the teacher excellence programs that do have some money attached to them. Although, to be very frank, somebody said to me, you know, what would you rather do, spend $2 million on your teacher excellence programs or put it into Head Start?
That's easy choice.
It really is for me, too. I that's why I love this program. It works. I'm familiar with it, and it's not soft. It's the real thing. But people have a tendency to, you know, especially in the education field, want to go out and study the damn problem until they, you know, put together another commission, another this and that. Well,
Chairman,
how much?
We're facing somewhat the same thing in our human resources.
So yeah, well, there's the competition.
And we will be, well, I see these as closely related.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think, yes. In the long run, this is the program that's going to save you human resource money in,
yes, I think,
2, 3, 5, 10 years. It's the only program that's really going to save you.
Let me sort of lay it out. We're having a hearing, what's the date, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Tomorrow. In human resources on two budgets, which we have sort of generally identified as our highest priority, and one of those is the jobs program, which would encompass about a fourth of the population in jobs program, and that program costs approximately $5 million, 4.8 or something like that. And the second priority we have labeled is the prenatal care program. And if we fund that so that any family up to 100% of poverty level will have parents there, will have prenatal care, obstetrical care, and care for children up to 5 years of age. That's combining with CSD and mentally indigent, and that additional program, I believe that's what it does. And that would cost about $6.3 million. Those are programs we're going to have hearings on Thursday, and those have been given a pretty high priority by people who looked at it in terms of the so-called window. I personally, in another area, just talking to Mike Cracken this morning, would like to see something like $500,000 or $600,000 restored in what was an earlier program in the so-called school retention program for school clinics. I'm just saying these are some things, and I identified with Mike yesterday that I thought that our program here was at least $400,000 short, and we ought to get at least that. Now there are other priorities in this general area of human services, but this, as you see, comes to about 12 plus $1 million. Right now, the leadership is talking about there being perhaps another $5 million to be spent, $7 million after this 12 to be spent, that could be spent under the lid, and plus $5 million more if they don't put $10 million into the e-board for reserves in case we misestimate our caseloads and some of these other expenses. So I kind of think that the realistic figure for all of these new expenditures under the cap, and this isn't just, you know, there's a little bit over here for land area or water or something. I think the realistic figure is probably something around $15 million. Right now, at least, that's where the discussion is now.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
okay.
Then how much would you then back into this one if we were to look at the $4 million, which is in the printed bill? Would you say that
I didn't complete my discussion.
Okay.
And that was, I think at this point, we should try to get a realistic figure, what we think is desirable in the bill, and approve it, and say these are our priorities then for expenditures within the limit. And I certainly think that it would be realistic to try to get to put another $2 million into this.
So 3.5?
3.5.
Okay. Would they take it? Would they have to find out whether they would?
We'll take it.
One thing about Head Start people is that we know how to get by on very limited funding.
And if we did that, then we would want to, Mr. Chairman, I think we'd want to have a kind of fast response from them to show specifically how, if they had that kind of money, they would use it. And that certainly ought to include an assessment of what agencies would likely be ready in a position to put in responsible bids for programs.
Okay, there's the
motion. That may be reaching too far.
Yeah, the motion is to amend the bill down to a $3.5 million. Also, Hutchinson has another suggestion here that we'll make a separate allocation in the bill for administration, just not giving us to percent, but just make an appropriation in the bill for administration so it segregates the money out. We've also pulled out one section on studying studying the program. What the point is, if the program hasn't started yet, so you don't need to study it yet, is a minor amendment. But and then a reference in it to making sure that these programs are distributed kind of an equitable geographical basis. They don't get all clumped up in the metropolitan area. I'm Representative Van Vliet, I don't think you have any problem with either. Those were minor amendments.
No, those amendments are, Mr. Chairman. But before we vote the bill out, I think there is a little checking of the figures of where this so-called, this $25 million that's under the lid has been spent five different ways already.
Well, the impression I get is that if we don't, you know, and maybe you're receiving communications that I'm not, but communication is always a problem in this process, and I'm at the point now that if nobody tells me it's being done, I assume it's not being done. So we've got to get our bid in for part of that window.
I have no problem with you putting your bid in with the co-chairs on it, Mr. Chairman.
I just wanted to kind of thought we could put it in a fairly concrete form.
Yeah, it's a very concrete.
You have to get the bill ready to go, and then as the co-chairs allocate funds, if it's in the possible net goal.
So. Or we were just going to
transmit
it to full committee.
With full committee, with the figure in it.
Well, we meet twice a week.
Well, I think you want to check with the co-chairs first before you do that, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Chairman,
we can record your no vote.
Mr. Chairman, better be prepared to record two of them, because I think we're being a little presumptuous here. I don't have any problem with amending the bill. If you want to amend it, let's get the figure on the table. Then let's go to the co-chairs.
Some of us have a problem with the way the system's working down here.
I have a problem, too. But don't tell me the problem of sending it out there and then having it bashed around and then send back here. And then we're conning these people into believing that we're going to give them something and then come back in here and cut the guts out of it and say, well, we tried, but let's be honest with them right up front.
I think they realize that... We are dealing with a total amount of money whose dimensions we cannot identify at this point because it's involved in a whole bunch of other negotiations.
That's true.
And I was trying to suggest that the best information I have assumes that it's something in that neighborhood and that it is intended largely for human resources, and I interpret that as being in the area of health, education, and the other departments and human resources, and I just thought it was well to have concrete proposals, we surely don't want everybody coming.
Let me remind the committee members: there's nothing in the rules that about who controls the money. You know, all the votes are the same on the committee, and everything's got to come out of the committee, and this remains a democratic body. So don't give away your prerogative.
The responsibility of our leadership is only to make sure
that there is a space, Mr. Chairman, is what I'm trying to do.
the responsibility of our leadership is to try to look at the various pieces and see that they get fitted together in a balanced fashion, that's all.
Mr. Chairman. To provide you, I think, with the strongest hand, I would suggest that, given the discussion that's going on here, that we formally adopt the amendments and insert $3.5 million divided on a 3-to-1 match here, have the amendments drafted to reflect that, and then take it to the powers that be and say, here's the unanimous decision of your education subcommittee in consultation with the chair of the Human Resources Subcommittee as a natural element in the human resources area for taking care of unmet needs. And that say, take it or leave it.
Take it to the
powers. And then go on from there.
The if we do that, and I'd agree.
Okay.
If we do that, then I think it would be also helpful to have an amount of money for administrative purposes broken down with the kinds of details that you have in this proposal prepared by Randy Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, we will put that in the budget report.
Yes, that's what I meant. I think we have to move into the point of a preliminary budget report based upon this. So we have as concrete a proposal as possible when it's considered by the full committee.
Mr. Chairman, there's just one point that might be addressed in the budget report, and that is that we are using $1.1 million of windfall that in effect reduces the base budget for local district special education grant and aid next biennium. I don't know how to deal with that to make sure that that money gets restored next time around, because what you're doing is you're taking general fund out now and replacing it with that carry forward. One way to do it would be to make this a pilot project and in effect sunset it and make it go through the criteria, the priority process next time. A second way would be to put in the budget report the committee's expectation that the governor will address the restoration of the or hope that he would address the restoration of the base for grant and aid program next biennium. I don't know how you'd like to proceed with that, but I think we need to.
What's the best alternative?
Sunset.
Former is sunset.
Yeah, the former is the honest way to do it, straightforward. I think that keeps pace with the other part of people who were involved in all the doings that created
that. That remote. Would be a sunset, but a recommendation that would be included in the next budget, the governor's budget.
Yes.
That is the way it was done in Washington last year. It came under review, and then they decided to refund it and then double the amount of money that they gave it for the first year.
Okay.
I'm pretty happy here.
Thank you very much. We'll be back.
Please realize that we are operating under limit.
Public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3167, statewide TV network, and proposed Office for Ed policy and planning.
I leave at 9. I would like to.
The June 13, 1987 meeting of the Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee of Ways and Means come to order. Today's agenda includes Senate Bill 524, House Bill 3340, House Bill 3167, and the discussion of the proposed Office of Educational Policy and Planning. Why don't we start out with Senate Bill 524.
That was the subject of a prior hearing, and at that hearing, we proposed a series of, or one technical amendment, one mainly having to do with sunsetting the program. This program is a priority for this subcommittee, and we proposed two alternative budgets, one at $1.4 million and one at $3.5 million. I have been informed that we have the $1.4 million, but the $3.5 remains dubious, although I, for one, do not give up on using more money in this program. However, notwithstanding that, it's probably time to move this bill along at the $1.4 million level. We do have before us amendments, the appropriate amendments, although as I look at the amendments, they're $3.5 million amendments, so they should be rewritten into $1.4 million amendments. That's merely a digital
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying. It's not actuarial or ministerial. It's something like that.
But Mr. Chair, yeah. We did decide, if I recall correctly, that it was to start at the second year of the biennium. Okay. So that, and I see the act is repealed, 1989.
Yes.
Why?
That Senator Cairns brought that up, and I asked the same question earlier this morning, Ms. Hutchinson.
And I raised the issue of because this is being funded from windfall money, it subtracts general fund. It's windfall federal money that is being used to replace general fund in the base budget for the handicapped child fund, so that next biennium, unless this is sunsetted, the base for this replaces the base budget for the handicapped child fund. So the idea was, I presented two options. One was along the lines of the budget report language with instructions and a sunset, and the committee concurred and the advocates agreed that a sunset was not inappropriate, that indeed that had happened in the state of Washington and had been reintroduced that's and increased. Yeah.
Well,
that's the history.
I would like to consider this program a top priority, but I'm not going to fight over the sunset. If anybody would allow this program to die once it got started, would be a damn fool. So,
or cheap,
or both, or worse. But we will.
Mr. Chair,
yeah, Senator Roberts.
It appears at this particular moment, I think we ought to go ahead with the 1.4. I frankly will, as we move into the interim, and as we get a more solid fix on our funds, I may ask to come back and ask for a supplement.
Yes, that's certainly. Certainly.
Just want to
we
say
we appealed it down just a little bit below, almost where we thought it would be. We kind of thought we could get along on 1 year with 1.5, and now we're down to 1.4 because of the funds that were allocated out of education. So.
I just want to say that I'm very supportive of this program, that it's the first of a package of education excellence that we've seen, and I will work with Senator Roberts to do what we can, if at all possible, to make this go and to begin to make a commitment and not leave the burden on to the school districts, but take that as a responsibility for a state program. I know there are some who just feel this will be another open-ended commitment, but I think it's an experiment that's proven itself, and I think it's time that the state made a commitment to a Head Start program.
I think the parent is a teacher program. Is one that I know a little bit less about, and I'm going to be interested in seeing how that works out. But we do have a rather general pattern that's been operating in the state of Head Start, federally funded program, and the parent as a teacher program is a little bit different concept, and that's going to be a thing to me to see how that functions.
And I'd like to emphasize part of the budget report here. The subcommittee expects that the projects are successful. The Department of Education will introduce the legislation to reestablish and fund the programs. funding proposal should occur as a separate decision package outside the department's base budget. Just something in my gut says that if they get the 1.4, they should get the 1.4, but let's not dwell on it.
Well, anything it says else? Here that the department is expected to request restoration of gen.
Oh, it's outside the base.
Yeah. I would like to have this appear as a base budget, but I guess that's if that's not going to be, that's not going to be. Anything else on this, Ms. Hutchinson?
No, Mr. Chairman. The language we added about geographic distribution is on line 4 of the amendments, and I think it says what the committee intended.
And the objection to the adoption of the amended amendments at 1.4 and the budget report and the bill as a whole. Okay, hearing no objection.
Senate Bill 3340 relating to education of children youth care centers, Ms. Flicker. We have been allocated some money for this. And I'm trying to remember how much it was.
$139,000. This is supplemental funding for children and youth care centers.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
I thought it was $278,000.
Yeah, but you
don't
have a vote.
He never has been good at following orders.
He told me that I might have made an error.
First, for Ms. Hutchinson, from the technical side of this, do we need any technical amendments to
yes,
this?
Mr. Chairman, in addition to these amendments presented by Ozzy and Sandy Flicker, I think the committee agreed with those amendments. Then, in addition to that, look at lines of the Andros bill, lines 25 through 28. Those deal with the distribution of the funds. And we suggest first that because handicapped children for whom there is an IEP and who are in special classes the majority of the day already receive a billing equal to twice the statewide average, we have excluded those from our calculation. The assumption is that the districts will use that billing, so they should be excluded from the distribution of the funds appropriated. In addition to that, I think there are several options instead of putting a dollar amount in. One is to put a percentage of statewide cost, that would be in line 28, or just to simply say that the funds shall be distributed on a per capita basis.
What's your preference? Anybody have a preference here, per capita or statewide? Ms. Hutchinson, what do you, in your judgment?
You're at about 12% with the amount of money for the second year of the biennium. The initial advisory group wanted about half the statewide average, which would then be a maximum. I would suggest simply saying a per capita amount.
Starting down there, Senator Hannon, per capita, all right?
That's right.
Yeah. Any objection to that?
Okay. It gives a lot of flexibility.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Ms. Hutchinson? Okay, and the amount that we are allocated here is
$139,000 for a phase-in in the second year of the biennium.
Okay, any objection to that?
Now, what kind of organizations will primarily be working with this?
My understanding is that the rules will be written by the Department of Education, and then the plan will be developed by the local school district and the youth care center, wherever there is a youth care center located. Those two will get together and develop the plan for those kids for the year, submit the plans to the Department of Education, that will be approved, and the plan will be implemented.
Okay. Anything else on this?
Which one is it, Mr.
Chairman? This is
3340.
3340.
Yeah, well, can I catch up?
$139,000 with a technical amendment.
All right. Where are the adopted?
Okay.
Yeah, on the 5.4, Senator Roberts and myself, and on 3340, Senator Hannon and Senate and Representative Van Vliet. We'll just go down the table here.
Where are we at?
Which for EdNet. You don't want to carry anything?
Look here.
You want to carry anything?
No, it's chaos.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Okay.
Put Dick's back in the chair.
Hey, he loved it. Dick's was like a fish in water yesterday. It was just... he was good at it too.
I went up there and stood next to him. I said, "Now this is a scooch."
Yeah, he was complaining that the people weren't cooperating with the program and he couldn't get the support of his party, and it was just I don't know. He was there about 3 minutes. If people would just let me do my job. Anyway, 3167. Who's going to be the Mr. Fiskum, Mr. Orm? Let me outline what I understand the situation to be. Is that there will be a appropriation for planning. Do I remember this right? An appropriation for planning, and then essentially a return to the e-board. Is that the way? Tell me if I'm wrong. I remember that right?
What's the deal again?
What's the
this is my first cup of coffee. I haven't had
these people mention these things to me in the hall and expect me to. What are we about to do,
Mr. Chairman? As I understand, the proposal would be to amend the bill rather than provide the $250,000 for planning monies for the study from the Economic Development Fund. It would be from the general fund. And the money would be appropriated to the emergency board, and the executive department would return during the interim with a proposal to spend the monies and the detail of what the study is.
$250,000. I just was wondering if there, why did they pull it out of lottery? Somebody got an explanation for that?
My understanding is that the lottery monies were all spent.
Oh, there's lots of money in the lottery.
They're all spoken.
None of which they would let even close to this committee. And technical amendments?
We will have to make one amendment, Mr. Chairman, but we can do that in terms of general fund rather than.
Mr. Fiskum, Mr. Orm, anything more to say but to bless this?
Mr. Chairman, to the record, Dave Fiskum, representing the American Electronics Association. You've rightly characterized what has happened. Representative Fawbush introduced this bill. The upshot is that it would appropriate $250,000 to study, in particular, the technology related to EdNet, meaning whether it should be whether services ought to be delivered via a microwave system, or a fiber optic system, or a combination of the two, or some other kind of system.
We've got that satellite we could lease too.
That has come up before, Mr. Chairman.
Something with a big footprint.
At any rate, the governor would appoint a commission, a study group, to review that issue and others, perhaps within the first year of the biennium, and make a report back to the governor as well as to the legislature at the end of the first year of the biennium. And in theory, then, if all was well, and if that group had done its job, everything would be ready to potentially even begin the first segment of construction of the EdNet system. Obviously, that is another issue that would have to be decided based on the study that was done in the first year. There is basic agreement, as I understand it, to this point, for the appropriation of the study money to the executive department via the method Mr. Forey mentioned. We are here because this, for our association, is one of our major legislative priorities this session. Our association, along with the Oregon Business Council and others, was instrumental in bringing the EdNet concept to this point, along with support from community colleges, higher education, and Oregon Public Broadcasting. That is probably enough to say for now. I think you've otherwise characterized the situation very accurately.
Mr. Orme, anything to add?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Maynard Orme, Executive Director of Oregon Public Broadcasting. I'm here also to support the EdNet bill. At the June 10th meeting, the commission reiterated its support of the EdNet bill, and we believe that planning time is very important in developing its comprehensive system through needs assessment, developing the technical system and the system use. And of course, the commission has a strong role to play in this planning process because of its telecommunications coordination role in the state, and looks forward to this process of developing the plan and implementing it. And that's basically all I have to say on that.
Yeah, who gets the money now? Do you get that money?
As far as I understand, Mr. Chairman, Representative Van Vliet, it goes through the executive department, and then the costs of the any expenses will be then reimbursed back to the executive department.
And that committee.
Right.
Exec will bring us back a plan and tell us who's going to do the work and who will get the money, and then the emergency board will make the allocation.
$250,000 will be definitely designated for this project,
yes,
and not
correct.
Be siphoned off no. by anything else in the executive department.
That's correct. It's actually appropriated to the emergency board for distribution for allocation.
The arts subcommittee of the emergency board will probably have a lot to do with this.
Yes,
Senator Cairns.
Well, I want to ask a question.
Senator Hannon.
Could maybe you expand a little bit